She drew a deep breath, shook her head, opened her eyes again, sniffed once or twice, then blew her nose on her fingers and wiped them on the skirt of her tunic. "Oh, I'm sorry," she said in response to Lennon's involuntary grimace of disgust. "I oughtn't have done that. I'm sorry. But what are you to do when there aren't any handkerchiefs? I remember how it used to upset me, all that dirt and nothing being aseptic. I had an awful cut in my hip when they first brought me here. You can't imagine what they used to put on it. Filth, just filth. Civilization is sterilization, I used to say to them. And streptococ G to Bambury T to see a fine bathroom on WC, as though they were children. But of course they didn't understand. How should they? And in the end, I suppose I got used to it. And anyhow, how can you keep things clean when there isn't hot water laid on? And look at these clothes. This beastly wool isn't like acetate. It lasts and lasts. And you're supposed to mend it if it gets torn. But I'm a baiter. I worked in the fertilising room. Nobody ever taught me to do anything like that. It wasn't my business. Besides, it never used to be right to mend clothes. Throw them away when they got holes in them and buy new. The more stitches, the less riches. Isn't that right? Mending's so antisocial. But it's all different here. It's like living with lunatics. Everything they do is mad. She looked round, saw John and Bernard had left them and were walking up and down in the dust and garbage outside the house, but nonetheless confidentially lowering her voice and leaning while Lenina stiffened and shrank so close that the blown reek of embryo poison stirred the hair on her cheek. "For instance," she hoarsely whispered, "take the way they have one another here. Mad, I tell you, absolutely mad. Everybody belongs to everyone else, don't they? Don't they?" she insisted, tugging at Lenina's sleeve. Lenina nodded her averted head, let out the breath she had been holding, and managed to draw in another one, relatively untainted. "Well, here," the other went on, "nobody's supposed to belong to more than one person, and if you have people in the ordinary way, they others think you're wicked and antisocial. They hate and despise you. Once a lot of women came and made a scene because their men came to see me. Well, why not? And then they rushed at me. No, it was too awful. I can't tell you about it." Linda covered her face with her hands and shuddered. "They're so hateful, the women here. Mad, mad and cruel. And of course they don't know anything about Malthusian drill or bottles or decanting or anything of that sort. So they're having children all the time, like dogs. It's too revolting. And to think that I... Oh, Ford, Ford, Ford! And yet John was a great comfort to me. I don't know what I should have done without him. Even though he did get so upset whenever a man... quite as a tiny boy, even. Once, but that was when he was bigger, he tried to kill poor Waihusiwa. Or was it Pope? Just because I used to have them sometimes. Because I never could make him understand that that was what civilized people ought to do. Being mad's infectious, I believe. Anyhow, John seems to have caught it from the Indians, because, of course, he was with them a lot, even though they always were so beastly to him and wouldn't let him do all the things the other boys did. Which was a good thing in a way, because it made it easier for me to condition him a little. Though you've no idea how difficult that is. There's so much one doesn't know. It wasn't my business to know. I mean, when a child asks you how a helicopter works or who made the world, well, what are you to answer if you're a baiter and have always worked in the fertilizing room? What are you to answer?"